Today, we have got to the stage in John's Gospel where things are about to change. There's been a lot happening. So Jesus started off the ministry with changing water into wine, if you remember that. He walked on water before this, before the reading that we had today. He healed the official's son who was at death's door. He healed a blind man at the pool. He did some teaching to a Pharisee in secret, and he also did teaching to a person who was a non-Jew and outside the Jewish nation of Israel. Added to this, he fed 5,000 people. So there's quite a bit. He's a bit of a rock star. All right. Now, if you think about 5,000 people, I was down at the Basin Reserve yesterday, and the capacity there is 5,000. All right. So when you're watching, if you're watching the cricket today and you look at the crowd, you think, wow, Jesus fed all those people, those rowdy people, if you were there yesterday. There's quite a number of people. So he'd done a lot of things. Now, it's interesting because we get to this stage in the story. Everything's been hunky-dory so far, but suddenly it's like a switch has been flicked. Now, Jerusalem, such an interesting place, such an interesting place. Those who inhabited Jerusalem consider themselves quite sophisticated. A bit like Wellington, where the average level of education per head of population is actually higher than the rest of the country. It's higher than Auckland. You probably knew that. Okay. So Wellington is kind of similar in Jerusalem in that sense. So Jerusalem was full of people who had it together as far as politics, as far as economics, as far as religion was concerned. They knew where everything sat. According to them, the Galileans were a bit, how should we say, excitable and easily led. So Jesus has done all this stuff in Galilee, gathered this huge following, and his brothers in this reading today are saying, go on, go to the big place, go to Jerusalem, show us what you can really do, brother. So it's the switch is when Jerusalem starts to come into focus. What we're going to look at today is Barclay says there are three responses to the person of Jesus. Three responses. In the previous chapter, Jesus started to talk about himself as the bread of life. The bread of life. His hearers and his followers did not have hindsight like we do to understand what Jesus was talking about. So therefore, a number of them thought, this is just too hard. If we eat, how can we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood? It's too difficult. I can't understand this. I'm off. I'm out of here. Now, the first of the three things and responses to Jesus, according to Barclay, start with D, funnily enough. And the first word is defection. They defected because they could not intellectually cope with what Jesus was saying. Now, in contrast to this, there are others, and I'm sure many of you are in this boat, where even though you don't intellectually understand what the kingdom of God is about or what this Christian faith is about, there's something inside you goes, there's something about this. Yeah? So your intellectual cognitive understanding of God's kingdom and the gospel is not absolutely essential to you following Jesus. You with me? Because that takes care of itself at some stage in our journey with Jesus Christ. Whether it's in this life or the next. I'm never going to understand everything about the gospel and the kingdom until I finally come face to face with God Almighty. which happens with us all. Are you with me on that? So we come to this part of the story. Jesus is talking to a large number of disciples about drinking, eating his flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of Man. If you don't do that, you have no life in you. What is this about? I'm out of here. They defect. It's too hard. Now, the second reason for defection or leaving Jesus behind or turning our back on him is our circumstances. If you have a relationship with God that is contractual, you will be thinking, if I do this for you, if I do that for you, if I do these things for you, you are going to do these things for me. You with me? That's a contractual relationship with the living God. If you have such a relationship, it is destined, that faith is destined to crumble. Because this life throws stuff at you that you never bargained for. Most of us are old enough and ugly enough to realize that life is a tough thing at times. It's a really tough thing. But if you have a covenantal relationship with God, that doesn't change the nature of who God is and what God thinks of you because of your circumstances. Now, we're in a situation here, and I sent out a memo or a letter explaining that at the moment, because we did the build of Te Gloria and also of Smash and spent $5.2 million down there, we've exposed ourselves financially to the point where at the end of this month, we've got a shortfall of revenue of $25,000. All right, so I put that out to the congregation. You might not have got the letter. It comes through just after the newsletter. Now, it's kind of interesting. The Festival of Booths, all right, that Catherine was reading about, this was the festival that Jesus' brothers were saying, come, show yourself. The Festival of Booths is really interesting. There's three major festivals. There's the Passover, there is the Pentecost, and there is the Festival of Booths. Now, the Festival of Booths is when the Israelites would gather anything around them to build a little booth or a shelter. And they would sit in the shelter and pray and eat, and it was to remind them of when their ancestors were in the wilderness, having escaped from Egypt, and God provided for their every need. Most of you know that story. They're reminding themselves of that. Now, it's interesting, in this season for us as a church, the staff, we were having our devotion. We have a devotion most mornings. And we're doing Lent. We're doing the Lent study. And Kate said, I think it was on Monday, Kate said, oh, Ian, the Lectio, for those of you who don't know, the Lectio is a little app, all right, that does a devotion with you. It's got this floaty music and stuff, but it's pretty good. Anyway, and she said, Ian, I think it's really relevant for what we're going through at the moment. I said, let's listen to it. And lo and behold, it's about the Exodus. It's about the Israelites being led into the desert and having to rely upon God's provision daily. I believe, and a number of us in leadership believe, that we are in a season like this now as a congregation and as a church. We are in a season of wilderness where Te Gloria is trying to get going, and it's not easy in this climate. It's great and it's fantastic, and I think you guys are starting to realize how good it is for inviting members of the community in and developing relationships with them, where if you invite them to church, they go, oh, that's not for me. Yeah? Rue and one of the house churches is planning to have another event down there with a games evening where they can invite people into. It's a third space for us to engage and bless our community. Now, I believe that we've done this in faith and been obedient to a faithful God. I have no doubt about that. Therefore, I have no doubt that God will provide for us by the end of this month and for the months to come. It's a time of wilderness. I'm excited about it. This church is so used to having large amounts of money stored up in coffers where you can buffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. We've never been in a situation, as far as I know, economically, like this before. We are reliant upon a God who is real and generous. And we're about to find that out. Does that make sense? I'm glad. You guys are very faithful and very generous. But I just want to lay that out for you, that that's where we are. And I think it's an exciting time for us as church. There is blessing ahead for us as a body of Christ. So, back to the story. Circumstances. Some of you might feel that you're in an individual wilderness. Rue was talking about that with that song Waymaker. You might feel that you can't see God working in your life. But yet, underneath, He is at work in faith in each and every person's life. If you are feeling you're in that situation, and I can feel like that sometimes too, please do come forward, get prayer. Please do go to your house church leader. Get together with other believers and share our lives together to the point of where we pray for one another and support one another. It's not about sitting here on your own and feeling on your own and isolated. You've got a large whānau here for you who also are walking the walk with you. In our reading today, Jesus' brothers urged him to go to Jerusalem for the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles or booths. It spoke about the shacks. His brothers urged him to go and show himself. They don't believe he's the Messiah. He's their brother. How the heck could he be the Messiah? This is how he replies. The right time for me has not yet come. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that what it does is evil. Now, Wright clarifies for us what this word world means. And he says, it is the deep-seated attitude that turns away from the loving Creator and tries to organize its life independently of Him. And tries to organize its life independently of Him. A defection. The problem which gives John's gospel, he carries on, its particular flavor is this. Jerusalem, its leaders and opinion formers, has come to embody the attitudes of the world, the wider world. Winners are grinners. And I know that after today's session at the Basin Reserve, you'll either absolutely love the Black Caps, or with some of the press, you'll be pointing fingers at some of the Black Caps. Winners are grinners. The leaders of Jerusalem, they loved winners. They were winners. They dealt with power and politics and manipulation to save their own precious reputations and status quo. Jesus, in contrast, thought nothing of his reputation. He thought nothing of his reputation because all he cared about was doing the Father's will for us. That's love in action. And that grace and humility that he embodied of the kingdom and God clashes with and confronts the world. He was so concerned about its reputation. Those who cannot stand the heat of this cosmic conflict are fearful of what they may lose, and they defect. That's talking about his disciples. They're fearful of what they may lose, and they defect. So that is defection. Now, the second word that starts with D, and it can be a response of a disciple, a follower of Jesus to Jesus, is the word deteriorate. And we see that embodied in the life of Judas. Really controversial figure. When Judas was chosen, Jesus must have seen the possibilities in this young man of what he could be, of how he could serve God's purposes and kingdom. But something switches in him. It deteriorates in his life morally, emotionally, and socially, and spiritually, where his dreams of who Jesus was and what God's kingdom is disintegrated. And someone who could have become like a hero in the kingdom becomes a villain. And we see that in his suicide. Deterioration. He stayed with him, but his heart was not in it. He would have gone through the motions with Jesus. He had other plans. Now, the third response to Jesus, and I love this, is determination. When the disciples, all those disciples, deserted Jesus, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "Do you guys want to go as well?" And Peter says, "My Lord, where would we go? For you have the words of eternal life." Oh, I think this is probably my second most favorite verse in the Bible. Where would we go? For you have the words of eternal life. So no matter what circumstances Peter encountered, and encountered a number, no matter about his cognitive misunderstanding of what God's kingdom was, he was still drawn to Jesus by his Spirit and said, "Where else will we go? For you have the words of eternal life." Can I invite the band up? We're going to worship, continue in worship as we come towards the communion, where we do understand what it means to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But as we worship and we sing this song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," let's think about those three D's: defection, that's the last one. Yep, deterioration. Okay. Defection, deterioration, and determination. Think of Peter saying, "Where else would we go? For you have the words of eternal life." Let's stand. is your faithfulness. Is the Father with us?
The Father is.
Is Christ among us?
He is.
Is the Spirit here?
The Spirit is.
This is our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are his people. We are his children. Lift up your hearts.